pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we invite all of us here to listen to you this morning. Take away the noise in our mind, in our hearts. Help us to see Jesus and to leave this place knowing that you were here before we even got here. You're waiting for us. We pray that you may use the words that I use to paint a picture of who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Title of my sermon is Change is Possible. And we've been hearing about change in the news lately, haven't we? A month ago, month and a half ago, they would have told us Egypt is going to change. We would have said, no way. Tunisia is going to change. Impossible. Libya, after 40 years, no, it will not happen. But they are proving us wrong. They're proving me wrong. They have said it is possible. A 23-year-old girl was being interviewed by phone by a reporter from BBS, or BBC, actually. And she said, we are feeling something I have never felt before. I think you call it freedom. We're not afraid to say what we think. You might not understand this, she was telling to the reporter, but in 23 years, this is all I've known. People look at each other and we just see, but we don't say anything. We know things are not going right, but we just put our heads down. But now, I'm not afraid. Nobody's afraid to say what they think, what they believe. Change. Change for the better is possible. And if there is a message in Scripture, is that change is possible because of who God is. Amen? The Gospel of John, we've been reading through some of these chapters. And the reason why I chose John is because he is the same author of the book of Revelation, a book that tells us about the changes that will be happening in our world, in our time. Drastic changes, rapid ones. But John, it is understood, wrote first the book of Revelation, received this vision from God of what would happen in the time of the end, and then he wrote the Gospel of John. Why the Gospel? Because our only safeguard is if you and I know Jesus. It's not if you're an Adventist. It's not if you have the greatest education, even Christian education. The only way you are going to make it is if you know Jesus. The only way. And John chapter 4 tells us a story. A story that has to do with change. Change that seemed impossible at the moment. Change that all the doctors, all the people in the home had said, there's no chance. The boy is going to die. And verse 46, John chapter 4, verse 46, it tells us that Jesus came therefore again to Cana of Galilee. And it explains us a little bit about this specific place, Cana, where he had made the water wine, where he had performed his first miracle, where Jesus had changed the elements of water into this new product called grape juice. It does have water, but it also has other elements that make it what it is, makes juice, grape juice specifically, what it is. And then it says that there was a certain royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. I believe these two cities are close by, not too far. And verse 47 says, when he, this royal official, heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was requesting him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. He was asking him for something very precious, something that was of great value. Jesus, come down with me. Come to my city. My son is dying. What is it that you're asking Jesus today? What kind of miracle are you expecting him to perform? What is it that you are asking him to change? This royal official was very specific. I want you to come and heal my son. Great opportunity, Jesus. A royal official. A government official. He has connections. He's going to make your ministry just out of this world. What an opportunity. You heal the official's son, and everyone will know about it. But Jesus' answer shocked me when I read it. Maybe it shocked you too. This is what Jesus responded, verse 48. Jesus therefore said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. You will not trust. He was kind of brushing him off. He was saying, you know, unless you see something happen, you probably are not interested in knowing who I am. This official, this royal official, must have seen Jesus' hesitation to go to his city. And he asked again. Verse 49. He said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? Have you had to go through a similar experience? This man was saying, sir, don't do it because I'm a royal official. Don't do it because I have power and authority. Don't do it because this will make you known throughout the city. Do it because I'm a father and my son is dying. Will you please, sir, just come down and heal my son? Will you do that for me? Jesus said to him, verse 50, "Go your way, your son lives." Go your way, your son lives. The verse continues saying, the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he started off. Must I remind you? No cell phones then. How's my son? No text messaging. No way of knowing, is my son alive? This is why I'm here. I need your help. But the words, your son lives, must have been said with such a conviction, with such love, with such authority by Jesus, that when he heard that, he trusted him. He believed him. I don't know if this royal official understood that the one who was speaking to him was the same one who said, "Let there be light." And there was light. "Let there be separation between the waters. And let there be an expansion and a firmament." And there was. "Let there be dry land and separate the water from the dry land." And it was. "Let there be lights in the sky, one to rule the day, the other the night, with the stars." And it was. The same one who said, "Let there be fish in the sea and birds in the sky." And it was. The same one who said, "Let there be creatures that crawl upon the earth and walk upon it." And it happened. The same one who said, "Let us make man in our image." And it happened. The same one who at the end of his creation saw that everything was very good. That was Jesus, the Word made flesh, speaking to a father who was seeking his son's recovery, his child's life. The text tells us in verse 51, "And as he was now going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was living." He was like, "I knew that already." So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. They said therefore to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." Yesterday at 1 p.m., the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. This chapter finishes off by saying, this is again a second sign that Jesus performed when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. It was his second miracle. This royal official didn't have any guarantees that what he had done with water, changing it into wine, could happen with his son. But he said, "I'm going to go and meet Jesus." There's another story here in the Gospel of John. Another official of God's people who also wanted to meet Jesus. Does anybody know what his name is? Nicodemus, exactly. Nicodemus. And Nicodemus had the question. Is it possible to change? Or do I have to change? Or why do I have to change? Charlie, the third one, huh? Why? I'm a leader. Leaders don't change. I'm a successful person, respected by all my peers, by the nation. I don't have to change. I'm a pious religious person. I don't have to change. But the first thing that Jesus tells Nicodemus, found in John chapter 3, verse 3, says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus, unless you change, doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, you will not see God's kingdom. And Nicodemus was appalled. Verse 9, "How can these things be?" How? How can I change? Jesus, look at me. I've got a PhD. I've got years of experience behind me. Years of successful things happening in my life. And you are telling me I have to change? How? Verse 10, Jesus kind of reminds him something. "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen." Nicodemus, why don't you receive our witness? Why don't you believe? Why don't you trust what we're saying? Is God patient with us? I know He's been very patient with me. He gave me a very patient mom, by the way. I was always a good kid, I think, at school. But mischievous. Got into trouble. All sorts of troubles. I would have given up on Nicodemus. But God is patient. Amen? He is love. Not wanting anyone to perish, but all to have eternal life. Nicodemus, trust. Trust what I am telling you. I know. I know what I'm telling you. Verse 16, in the same context, says that change is possible. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, trusts Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him." Is change possible? It's possible through Him. There's another way that change is possible. That is, if we trust His Word. We talk about revival and reformation, right? For the Adventist church, But that has to begin where? Right here, with me. Do I believe what God tells me every day when I open up His Word? Do I trust it? Do I put it into practice? There was a man who went to a small home, tin roof, little wood sticks around with adobe, dirt making the walls. If you entered that home, there's no beds, no nothing, it's just dirt. And time comes to sleep, and you just take out your little mat, you put it out, and you sleep on it. And that's every day for many years. And later on, you grow, and you can use a hammock for your house. And this man came with this to that house. 8 kids lived in it. And he said, I want to share something with you. And he shared what he knew from this book with a man named Miguel Núñez Gallegos, my grandfather. And my grandfather opened the Bible for the first time. He read it, and he believed in it. Talk about power to change. We were watching during Sabbath school a little video about a church in India. Kind of like that. That's what it looks like. And my grandpa made half of his home the church now. It was the first church in the little town, or city now, Salina Cruz, Oaxaca. He accepted it. He believed it. He trusted. And it made an incredible changing experience, not just for his children, but for his grandchildren. Another young lady, 9 years old. Any 9-year-olds here? Okay. 9 years old. She heard for the first time about the Sabbath. She heard for the first time, you should not eat unclean meats. That was the message that Sabbath. In a church that was far away. And so the parents had just gone because of some friend had invited them to these meetings. They sat there. That was it. She came back home. Mom went to cook. She made her beans and she put some lard in it, making it have flavor. And the 9-year-old little girl told all the rest, today we're not eating. It has lard in it. And the kids just sat at the table with their mouth closed. It changed them, transformed them. They believed it. Children. And because of their faith, their parents started to believe as well. Her name, Maria de las Nieves de Faust Martinez, my grandmother on my mother's side. They heard and they trusted what God had said in His Word. And it made an incredible difference in their life. Is change possible? Change is possible, brothers and sisters. But we have to make a choice. Will we trust Jesus? Will we trust His Word? It's a choice God can't make for you. I can't make for you. Nobody can make for you. Each one of you has to make that choice. Will I take God at His Word? Will I trust Him no matter what is happening around me or happening in me? Will I trust Him? Will you trust Him? I believe change is possible. And God's Holy Spirit wants to begin that change in me, amen, and in you, and wants people around us to experience that change too. Is he coming soon? I think people in Libya, Egypt, Tunisia, they think it's something's happening. People who don't come to our church, they're looking at the news and saying something is happening. Are we going to be ready to tell them what Jesus has done for us? I pray that God, through his Holy Spirit, will perform the greatest change in our life and in our time. Amen? And we will see Jesus coming soon again. Amen.